I'm Ken Hemmings, and he is Chris Lang, and welcome to another of these regular property briefings. Again, a warm welcome to you, Chris.
I'm glad to see you once again.
During our time together in previous episodes, you've talked about the benefits of commercial property over residential property. And apart from your tenant paying the outgoings, one of the key benefits seems to relate to the tenant maintaining the property for you. How does that work in practice?
You're right, Ken. Obviously, with commercial property, the tenants do pay the outgoings, and yes, part of the lease requirements is that they maintain the property. Now, depending on the size of it and of your property and how many tenants you have, you may well have a managing agent, and I would counsel most investors to do that, even if you've only got a single tenant, in that there is so many things that you need to do. They're not difficult, but if you don't do them, there are penalties for not doing them. And some of them involve meeting essential services requirements and things like that. Now, most commercial leases provide for the cost of those items to be picked up by the tenant. Now, as far as maintenance is concerned, the tenant has the option to either organise it themselves, or if you have a managing agent, to ring the managing agent, who will then organise the tradespeople, which is in most cases what they do, because most tenants don't have ready access to the range of tradespeople that might be needed from time to time. Now, if it's a new property, you're not going to need much maintenance. As the property ages, then you may well require things from time to time to be done within the property. But if the managing agent organises it, then once the job is done and the work approved, then the tenant will be billed in the ensuing month for the amount of that maintenance work that's carried out. But you've got to understand, unlike residential, the commercial tenant is running a business from the property. And in most cases, they have certainly staff, but clients as well coming to the property. So that if something isn't working, either because of its equipment being air conditioning or plumbing, or something is broken, such as door handle or some other aspect relating to the internal use of the premises, then they are highly motivated to have that rectified. Now, sure, they might have a requirement to do it under the lease, but they want to have those sort of things rectified to keep their staff happy, but also to provide a good impression to the client. So if something was spilt on the carpet, they'll want to have that clean. If someone spilt some coffee, they will want to make sure that that's cleaned very quickly so that, they comply with the lease, but more importantly, from their perspective, that they continue to provide a good impression for their clients. So there's both a legal requirement and a commercial requirement, being a business, for them to, at their expense, to keep your property in tip-top condition. And obviously the lease provides, you know, normal wear and tear. In other words, things like carpet after 7 or 8, 10 years is starting to wear out. And therefore that becomes a landlord requirement to replace the carpet, unless, again, there is a special provision in the lease for them to, as there is in many leases, for them to completely re-carpet, repaint the premises every so many years. It might be, particularly if you're taking it a 10-year lease, that after 5 to 7 years, they are required to completely repaint out the premises. So, again, these are the sort of things that you have available to you when structuring a commercial lease and negotiating with commercial tenants, which you don't, unfortunately, have the opportunity to introduce when you're talking about a residential lease. So it certainly gives you, well, I say, the upper hand from an investor point of view, your asset is being maintained, in some cases even improved, as time elapses, at the tenant's expense. It doesn't have to come out of your pocket. Now, sometimes, particularly if there's a rent review coming up in a lease expiry coming up, you may choose to contribute to some works. The tenant may well know they have to undertake some works, but they come to you and say, look, would you chip in a bit for, we want to repaint the whole property. And there may not be a specific provision in the lease, but they feel it needs to be repainted, and you might chip in half or a quarter of that amount. And then as a result of that, they see you as a reasonable landlord, good landlord or landlady, and are more likely to exercise their option and pay a good, if not much higher rent, when the time comes to renegotiate the lease and take up their option.
So, apart from day-to-day maintenance, how else does a commercial lease protect you as an investor?
Okay, well, on top of the day-to-day maintenance, commercial leases also have a provision which is called a reinstatement or a make-good clause at the end of the lease if the tenant doesn't continue on and either take a new lease or exercise an option. Now, what that means is that the tenant is required to reinstate the premises to the condition it was at the beginning of the lease. And as I said, the only proviso is that there is fair wear and tear accepted. And that means that if something is not vandalised or broken, but simply over the flux of time, as I said, things like carpet, even to a degree paintwork, if it hasn't been scuffed and scratched and what have you, it's just tired. And, you know, after 6 or 7 years, it happens, right? And so those are the exceptions. But if the tenant has made certain installations like putting in equipment or partitioning or various other things, they are required under the terms, reinstatement terms of the lease, to physically remove those additions that they've put into the property or changes or modifications to the property, which, you know, ideally suited their needs, but they have to reinstate the premises. So when they remove the partitions, if they were fixed to walls, they have to plug the holes and paint. Now, they can't just paint, plug and paint the holes that are there. If through doing that, it requires them to repaint the whole wall, the whole tenancy, well, then that's when they do have to do that, even though you would argue it was natural aging of the paint. But the fact that they have had to plug the walls, they have to at least make it match in with the rest, and that's pretty difficult. So therefore, it ends up being easier to repaint the walls completely. And likewise, if in putting the partitioning up they have damaged the carpet, they have to patch it. Again, you can't just patch it with, you know, small patches of brand new carpet in old carpet. So again, some arrangement or compromise will be arrived at as to the best way to reinstate that. So effectively, you get back at the end of the tenancy the premises in basically the same condition it was when they went in there, with the exception of the fair wear and tear that's allowed through the course or over the course of the lease period. So you can have a fresh start with a fresh tenant, and that's what the reinstatement clause does. So, yes, the tenants are required to maintain throughout the lease, but at the end of the lease, when they vacate, they have to reinstate or make good the premises to its original condition.
This might seem a silly question, but how do you agree on what needs to be done as part of the make good?
Well, it actually, the process starts, if you're smart, at the time a tenant goes into the premises. In other words, what you should do or have your managing agent do is to take photographs of the state in which the premises was in when they took over. And if it's, you know, been freshly renovated or it's a brand new property, it'll be vacant. And they just photograph that, the carpet, the kitchen, the lighting, the walls. And it's not every square meter of it, but, you know, broad picture so that it's easy to justify and verify that the premises was in top condition. Now, you file those away, and the managing agent should do that. It doesn't have to be a hard copy. A soft copy is fine because you can print them out later when you need them. And then at the end of the premises, end of the lease, this is where some difficulties arise because or can arise because what most people do is say they go and get a quote to reinstate the premises and come up with the builder's quote. And the tenant goes away and the quotes are, they dispute the your quote and there's a big argument because their quote's much cheaper. They've probably got their brother or their friend or something to give a ridiculously low quote. So my approach has always been that you actually engage a quantity surveyor to undertake what is called a dilapidation report. Now, yes, it might cost you a few thousand dollars to obtain, but the quantity surveyor is seen as independent, whereas a builder, they will assume the builder's your friend, as you will assume the builder the tenant gets is their friend. A quantity surveyor does it quite differently. They've had a look at the original photograph, so they know what they're aiming at, and they will very accurately itemise very detailed list of everything that has to be done, from the demolition of partitioning, the reinstatement that follows, and it's meticulously outlined and costed. And generally, I say this speaking from a landlord's point of view, it will be a very full cost. And that's good because it's a good point to start negotiating from. But even so, what it does do, leaving the cost aside, is to provide you and the tenant with a shopping list of every single thing that needs to be done to reinstate the premises. So they can still go off and get a price to reinstate it, but their builder now is not saying, oh, the landlord's builder is just wanting to cream it and get as much as they can. They have to come up with an accurate price because they know a QS has come up with their pricing. And the QSs are generally pretty accurate. As I said, they're generally a full price, but the detail of the work that needs to be done is certainly fully itemised. Now, even if, and let's pick figures here, let's say the reinstatement, it's irrelevant, the actual figures, but let's say it's $100,000 under the QS's estimate. Now, even if the tenant's builder comes up with $80,000, you realistically were never going to get the $100,000 because I can tell you now that most builders, particularly if they're looking for work, will cut costs and will always come in under a QS's pricing. So they come up with $80,000. So really what you're debating is the $20,000 and how much of that you're going to get. Now, you know, it's not a hard negotiation and they may well decide at that point that they want to settle on the matter.
Tell me, what's preferable, to have the tenant make good, or is it better for you to accept a cash settlement instead?
Well, as I was starting to say in answer to the last question, sometimes you may well want the premises reinstated. It just suits you to have that happen. It's just messy, it's outdated, the fit out. it's just going to be cleaner to have it reinstated. So you say to the tenant, now look, you're quite about, if you reckon you can do it for 80 and match up with the QS, and that's the beauty of having the shopping list, you can walk through afterwards and say, well, either you did or you didn't do what the QS asked. So if they can do it for 80,000, that's fine. However, it may well be in your interest to say to them, look, let's reach some settlement. Now, whether it's 80 or 90 or whatever between your figure and their figure, you may well be better to have a cash settlement, because even though the lease requires them to remove the tenancy fittings or fit out, they may well be in a pretty good condition and layout that an incoming tenant would find them readily usable. And it's a lot easier, both physically and from a town planning point of view, to modify existing partitioning than it is to start afresh. You've got all sorts of things like cabling, both electrical and data cabling, that will already exist within the current structure. Now, if it's just a matter of removing the odd partitioning, that's not a difficult thing to do. If they want to add a bit more, again, they may not need to do it straight away. They might say, well, look, open up a couple of offices to make an open space area rather than individual offices, and then we'll have a look at it, and 6 months down the track, we might add some more. But they can get up and running very quickly, and it may well be that you say to them, with the $80,000 or whatever you've got in cash, look, we'll chip in $40,000 to give you a hand. Or it gives you the opportunity to say that, look, we'll give you 2 or 3 months rent-free, and that comes out of the $80,000 or whatever settlement you reach at, so that they feel, again, you are a good landlord to work with, because you understand that in the first 2 or 3 months, they've got to not only physically get the premises right, they have to move their staff in. There's all sorts of disruption, boxes have to be unpacked, clients have to be notified, letterheads have to be printed, all that sort of stuff. And it's, you know, those first 2 or 3 months are generally pretty high maintenance as far as the employees of the firm are concerned, just adjusting to the new premises. So any rent relief they can get during that period is really welcome. So if the outgoing tenancy's fit out is half reasonable, you are more often than not, even though you can require it to be reinstated, better to reach a cash settlement. And from the outgoing tenant's point of view, in their mind, they're probably thinking, you know, $80,000, it's pretty tight. We feel we might have to pay a bit more, or even still, it's, you know, it's just one more thing they have to do when they move. And if they can just arrive at a cash settlement, it's just going to make life a lot easier. So that discussion is not a difficult one to have, and more often than not, you will arrive at a cash settlement. And I would recommend that if the outgoing tenant's fit out is in pretty good nick, and particularly if you don't have to re-carpet. That's one of the issues you've got to look at, because it's very hard to carpet around partitioning. Now, it may well be that it's only in the highly trafficked areas that the carpet's worn out. It may be in passageways or in front of the kitchenette area if it's open there where the staff congregate. And it may well be that you decide, well, what you'll do is you will go in and you won't try and match the carpet. You'll do something quite different, make a statement. And so the corridor becomes a different colour, blending in, but it's brand new carpet in the passageway and in the highly trafficked areas, whereas within the offices themselves, they may well be fine. So again, by having a cash settlement, it gives you the flexibility to decide what, if anything, you need to do, and also provides you with the ability to provide the incoming tenant with some incentive, either cash payment towards their fit out or rent relief in those early months when they need it.
I've been aware of the make good provisions for commercial property, but I've never really grasped exactly what they've entailed. Therefore, Chris, What you've explained today has removed all of the mysteries. So thank you.
Well, that's a pleasure, Ken, and I hope it all made sense to our listeners.